Chris Thomas from Wales in the UK is with us. We are talking about planet Earth, the human race and other races, and the history of the solar system. And of course, more lastly here, we're talking about the Veilon. We're going to continue on this. I want to get to what the agenda of the Veilon is, how they're... you know, how the development of the human race have been, you know, the interaction here, basically, because there's an interesting history here. You were, of course, talking about their kind of hard drive and everything else, Chris, and I want to give you opportunity to continue on that track and tell us more about that, if you know, how that is important and how the technology functions and basically if there's more to that story.
Sure. The higher end of the maze that they use, for example, can be used to build a new body. So what they do is, what they can do with these higher maze is to download their soul into the maze, into the computer. And they can then instruct the maze to build a new body form for them. So in other words, they can take on the shape and form of other life forms, if that's what they choose to do, which gives them quite a lot of flexibility around the place. And that has played a certain part in the Veilon activity on Earth. So, for example, the tall white Nordics of Area 51 fame are the Veilon using their maze to create for themselves a new body that is more human in form than their natural Veilon state. So it adds to the confusion, if you like, of what's been going on.
Well, that would certainly do that. Wearing a costume as posing as someone else would obviously cause a problem. But they can they create? I mean, the Nordics allegedly, then they obviously have a very very human look. As far as I know, there's just a few little you know, details here and there that are off, that are kind of would give it away. But can they not create just straight up human bodies and pose as humans?
Not really, because it's a fundamental aspect of being of a semi-physical race. By semi-physical, I mean, although they have a physical form and density, if we had, let's say, one of the blues standing in front of us at the moment, the chances are you wouldn't see it. You probably wouldn't even detect its presence. So in order to present themselves on a more human level, then they have to alter their energy patterns. So when they come into our solar system, they are invisible to us, literally invisible on every level. But they can alter their energy patterns so that they become more physical, or at least they fall within a human range of sensory perceptions.
So this is basically the limitation of our senses that is preventing us from seeing them. They're outside of our bandwidth, so to speak. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
These blues, though, I wanted to ask you quickly about that before we proceed. Does they have anything to do with the vast record that we have on this planet of all these blue gods that we see everywhere? Of course, the whole Avatar movie picked up on this theme in India and Hindu tradition. The blue people have a tremendous, you know, influence and power, and there's a lot of blue people showing up in different capacity. Is this the same ones, do you think?
It's entirely possible, because the blues have been working again on Earth on a genetic level. They're not as advanced and experienced as those from the NGC system, but the blues tend to work with people in a healing capacity. So a lot of energetic healers on Earth have, as it were, their spirit guides as blues. That has diminished in recent years for lots of different reasons, because everybody's been asked to get out of the solar system because of the problems the Veilon have been causing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, traditionally, the blues have worked with humans to help them with healing work and healing work on Earth. Because basically the blues want to learn about human physiology, how it works, and how everything is put together. There's a reason for that, which is connected to the work they do with the greys, because the greys' bodies are, they feel, are very very weak and starting to break down. So the blues and the greys have been working together to try and develop a new body form that the greys can adopt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason for a lot of UFO activities that there has been around the Earth is, and abduction stories and experimentation and all the rest of it, is because basically the blues and greys are trying to develop this new body form for the greys. However weird that one sounds, but that seems to be the case.
And so are the blues and the greys trying to counteract the agenda, if you will, of the Valon and what they are doing here?
Not really, no. They're basically observing what the Valon are up to, rather than becoming involved.
Well, thanks, guys. We need help. Come on.
Well, to a certain extent, it is true, but the fundamental energy pattern of this universe is about freedom of choice. So literally every soul within this universe has absolute freedom of choice to choose its actions. And what we've done on Earth is to say, right, we've got this problem to solve, which is that how do we develop a human being that is capable of taking the whole of the soul within the body? Because what we're used to is this physical self, higher self shift, breakage within the soul that is a human. And what we've been trying to do is to find a way of getting the higher self back into the body.
Mm-hmm.
If you see what I mean, because mm-hmm. we did originally, when we first developed true human beings on the planet, the whole of the soul was contained within the physical body.
Well, that would explain potentially the so-called ancient high civilizations, where we seem to have started off on with a higher capacity, a greater understanding. We have greater architectural feats than we even have today in some regards. And we can't figure it out. And something happened, right? Something we were, you know, some people claim it's just a cycle of consciousness, et cetera, but it could be something like this, like you're trying to explain.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you look at the Great Pyramid in Egypt, we are incapable of building it, even now. I mean, with all the technology we've got, we could not build the Egyptian pyramid and the kind of tolerances to that build, to the way in which the pyramid is built.
Yeah.
Several people have tried to build half-scale replicas of it, and they've given up. So even at half the size of the Giza pyramid, it's impossible. We don't have the technology for it.
Mm.
Whereas, if we come back to human development very quickly.
Sure, no problem.
So we had all of these prototypes, and when those two planets left the solar system and created the destruction that they did, the Earth adopted the equivalent of the human life form from one of the other planets. And that other life form we know as Cro-Magnon man. And another name for Cro-Magnon man is Homo sapien, which of course is us. So Cro-Magnon are our direct ancestor. And what we had then on the planet were six or seven different types of potential human beings, and Cro-Magnon looked the most promising. And so, essentially we settled down. The Earth provided every single possible need that we could have. And so for quite a few million years, we didn't progress at all. Bearing in mind that the whole purpose of our solar system, and particularly Earth, is to develop a body form that could take the whole of the soul. And the Cro-Magnon form, although quite advanced, was not capable of holding the whole soul within the physical body. So we took Cro-Magnon man. Again, it is all free choice involved, so it wasn't just picked. Everybody on the planet, if you like, was asked if they wanted to go on some kind of acceleration. And so we took Cro-Magnon man onto an island in the middle of the Atlantic that we know as Atlantis. And there, Cro-Magnon man was genetically developed. and in very pleasant ways. So it was all done properly. There was not the kind of rubbish that GMOs are going through at the moment on Earth. And Cro-Magnon was developed into something beyond what we are, because they were capable of having the whole of the soul within the body. Now, if you have the whole of the soul within the body, your senses expand to something that we can't even imagine. We communicated psychically between each other, so we didn't have language. You could communicate with all living things on the planet, whether that's from life forms like a dolphin right the way down to a blade of grass. I mean, you couldn't actually speak to a blade of grass, but you could ask it what its function was, how it is constructed, and what benefits there would be either for eating it or in medicinal purposes. So in other words, you could have that kind of psychic communication with plants and animals. And that's how we were originally, and that's how we are intended to be on Earth.
Do you think that animals have this capability at the moment? Because certain animals out there seem to just instinctively know exactly what to eat to remedy what you know, whatever they're suffering from.
Sure, but that's just a natural part of what they are.
Okay.
We destroyed Atlantis quite deliberately. It's a very long story, so I won't go into it now, but I mean, we destroyed Atlantis quite deliberately. It took the Earth 40,000 years to recover, and we came back to the planet 20,000 years ago. So most souls who were in human form or would have been in human form and connected with Earth left the planet, allowed the planet to recover for that 40,000 year period, because you can't destroy a continent without causing all sorts of problems. And so when those who had chosen to be human came back onto the Earth 20,000 years ago, we were as we were on Atlantis, which is the whole of the soul within the physical body. So we had all the faculties that we're supposed to have. And we began to lose them because we realized that the Earth's energy frequency, so the basic base note energy of the Earth, was too low a frequency. The Earth has always resonated at 7.56 hertz, and that was too low an energy frequency for us to maintain the whole of the soul within the body. Because the soul that we are, that humans are, is made up of massive energy patterns. We're looking at 50 dimensions of energy contained within the soul. And so to squeeze all of that energy into a physical body when it resonates at that 7.56 hertz was too big a leap. And so we couldn't maintain the whole of the consciousness because that base note frequency was too low. So the Earth needed to raise her base note frequency up to a new level in order for us to be able to bring the whole of the soul back into the body. And so that's what human experience and human knowledge gaining is all about, is learning, trying to find out what that new frequency needed to be so that we could bring the whole of the soul back into the body. Hmm. And it has taken us 7,000 years to do that. But we have got this. We do now know what that frequency needs to be. The Earth has already altered her frequency levels. She did that back in 2000, either 2000 or 2002, I can't remember offhand. So she is now operating at 3.5 kilohertz, which is a considerable leap from 7.5 hertz. And humans have been accelerating our own frequencies over that period since then. Since 2000, to try and bring ourselves up to sort of energy parity with the Earth again. And we achieved that at the end of 2011. It was October 2011. And so we're in a position where we can bring the higher self back into the body if that's what we choose to do.
Let me ask you quickly about the numbers again. You said the Earth has been going from, 7.5 hertz to 3.5, so it's lowered the frequency. Is that correct?
No, kilohertz.
Kilohertz, okay, yeah.
So into 3.5 thousand hertz.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep. And so we could have undergone that shift last December. This is what the end of the Mayan calendar was all about and all the rest of it. But there's been a lot of disruption on the planet, and I think a lot of the main reason why people, certainly in the Western world, didn't undergo this consciousness reintegration, this soul reintegration, is because they don't believe it can happen. So, you know, at some point we need to alter the way in which we think and stop believing in some of the things we do believe in, because that's what's holding us back from making this move. That we are now capable of achieving any time we choose to, because we've got a whole new set of energy patterns connected with the Earth. What you could call the Mayan sixth sun, because the fifth sun disappeared or ended on the 21st of December. It was the 29th of October 2011, and a new sun built on the 21st of October 2012. So 21st of December 2012. Mm-hmm. So we could shift now any time we choose to. It's just the problems we have in the Western world are holding us back, basically. Because in the non-Western world, the vast majority of the population there are ready and perfectly capable of making this shift. You know, something like 98% of the population in some countries can do it. They're only holding themselves back because we have a collective agreement, if you like, that we all do it at the same time. So the Western world is holding back.
So what does this mean, Chris? How will this change the experience or the body or the intention, soul, what have you?
It changes everything. It changes the body's density. We become much lighter in density than we used to. We have phenomenally different energy patterns within the body. We will be able to communicate psychically again with each other, and again with all living things. Our senses, if you think of the five senses that we have, they're basically single notes in what could be a symphony of the kind of senses you have when you have the whole soul in the body. So everything changes. And also it means that you have to be absolutely honest with yourself and with everybody else. So all the problems we have in the Western world at the moment would automatically disappear because we would be able to see through all the lies and all the propaganda. And we would only be able to be honest with each other in any situation. So it creates a massive shift, potentially a massive shift. And this is what the VLON have been trying to prevent, what the New World Order is all about, what the Illuminati are all about, is trying to prevent this change from happening. And
so these
return to the VLON.
the others, Chris, just quickly about that. The others from other parts of the world and not the Western world, if they have the capability to be able to change in this way, they would be able to solve, I guess, many of their issues that they're having independently from what the West are doing. Is that correct, or do they have to? As you said, everyone has to do it at once. Is that how it works?
Well, there is this agreement that we have on a sort of mass consciousness level, that is that, if we're going to change, then we're going to do it together. There are currently something like 3 million people on the planet who have already undergone this shift in consciousness, this process of reintegration. But they're hiding away, basically, from the Western world because they would come under immense pressure and attack from the Western world, the politicians, the military, whatever, to try and destroy them. So they're there, they're working with us, they're working within the Akashic and the mass consciousness to try and help people as much as possible. But it always comes down to this freedom of choice. And unless people choose to undergo this process of reintegration, then it's going to be a much slower process than it could have been.
If people are manipulated, propagandized, they're from very young age being indoctrinated in the school systems, etc., how much of this is then really a free choice?
Well, you can break through it. But the problem is that most people don't want to or aren't aware that there is an alternative, that there is a truth out there that isn't what we've been taught. You know, as I said earlier, everything is based on cosmology and science is based on gravity, and yet gravity doesn't exist. And it's all held together by electromagnetic forces. And yet the whole thing of gravity is being promoted widely, even now by those behind the New World Order, for example, are promoting gravity as part of what they still want to teach and make people believe. Because if you consider that everything that exists within this universe is a consciousness, then electromagnetic energies is consciousness energy. It's just our scientists have called it electromagnetic, whereas in fact it's consciousness energy, it's soul energy. That's all freely available within the universe. Now, if you alter the way people think from a physical process like gravity to one of a consciousness level of thinking, then you alter the way in which people think about themselves and understand their world and their place within it. So this is why we're still taught that gravity is what holds the universe together and holds everything on Earth, is because it maintains everything within a very physical position and way of thinking. We need to break through that and start looking at things from a much higher level. Einstein said something like, you can't solve your existing problems by the same level of thinking that created them in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, you have to shift the way in which we think. And this is what we should have done. But unfortunately, we're propagandized into believing a great many things. And science is just one of them. Because if you scratch the surface of science, if you go through the veneer that's on the surface of it, you'll find, for every scientific theory that is accepted as the truth, what is presented to the public, you'll find an average of 93 different theories. So nothing is proven within science. It's just presented to us as being absolute proof, whereas in fact, it's a theory. You can think of tectonic plate movements, for example. We're told that all the plates on the Earth have shifted around at various times throughout history of the last 400 million years, whatever. They haven't. What has happened is the Earth has expanded from its original size and has contracted at various times as well. So the Earth expands and contracts. So there hasn't been any continental drift. It's just purely and simply the Earth has got bigger or smaller. So you see, it's fundamental things like that that are holding people back. And that's where a lot of the problem lies.
I wanted to talk some more about the problems of science and the scientific field and kind of, I guess, where you draw the line as well, because overall the way science is run today is fairly new. I mean, we're just talking 100, 200 years really, but the whole scientific field was started a little bit earlier. I mean, it goes back to, everyone from Thales and Aristotle, Roger Bacon, Newton, you have these kinds of people, and they were more into the natural philosophies that seems to me is more tied to nature and the real world of observation, so-called empirical evidence and all that. But when do you see this shift taking place and when the scientific field goes into another area? Where does the problem begin, I guess?
Really, it's the 1700s and 1800s. That's where it really begins, end of the 1700s, into the 1800s. So through the Victorian era is the one that really caused us the problems. This itself coincides with the beginnings of science. I know Newton was the end of the 1600s, but really nobody really caught up with Newton until we're into the 1700s. And then it's Victorian thinking and arrogance that created a lot of the problems. I mean, one of the things that all Victorian scientists believed absolutely above all else was that if a woman attempted to solve problems using higher mathematics, her brain would explode. They firmly believed that. And so that's the kind of thinking that's caused a lot of the problems that we have. You know, it was Newton who came up with gravity, and 400 years later, we're still trying to find the answer, what gravity is all about, because nobody really knows. All the theories that have come up so far are just utter rubbish. You know, this double dark theory is just, leaves me speechless, really, at how convoluted it is.
Yeah, it seems complicated. All these, you know, unknown variables have to be put into the picture to be able to explain certain things and phenomena, which is not understood. And so we have things like dark matter to, you know, these, you know, non-proved particles and everything else. So they're trying, though, I guess. But how would you explain
it?
How would you explain it? Well, is it a simplified idea we need to look at it? But explain the idea of electromagnetism a little bit, how that generates many of these effects, like the gravitational effect and all that.
Well, it isn't a gravitational effect in the way in which gravity is explained, because it isn't a gravitational force that, let's say, is holding the moon in place. What is holding the moon in place is the consciousness that is the moon, and the consciousness is the Earth, has agreed that they will work together. And the same with the universe, galaxies within the universe, whatever. If you think of that as each of those components as a consciousness, then it's agreement, it's choices made by each of those consciousnesses to work with whatever situation they're in. So if you're a planet within the solar system, you're working with the consciousness that is the sun. If you're a sun, a consciousness that is taken on the form of a sun, you are working with the consciousness that is the galaxy. So it's all agreements. It's agreement all along the line. And the energy patterns created by linking souls together in this way, or souls interacting together in this way, creates these huge energetic fields that on Earth scientists have interpreted and called electromagnetic fields. But in reality, what they are consciousnesses working together.
A consciousness then is ultimately what generates these fields. It's creating the many of the effects that we can observe scientifically. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
So do you think that we ever could bring this into the scientific field, let's say variables and such? Many people have speculated that you know, we just need to understand everything that's out there, and also then have the tools and the capacity to, you know, to measure these things. But what about consciousness itself as a tool to understand these things? Would that solve some of the issues, do you think?
Well, we already have it, because the vast majority of cosmologists reject gravity and double dark theory. And what they insist is that the universe is held together by electromagnetic energies. And they've actually started calling these energies the fifth dimension. You know, so Einstein said time ought to be the fourth dimension, and they're now saying that electromagnetic energies are the fifth dimension. So it's already there. And if you look at a lot of people who are slightly on the edges, perhaps, of the scientific world, but they're cosmologists, whatever, well-respected people within their own field, I've seen many lectures where they're talking about consciousness energy holding the universe together. Everything within the universe is a consciousness.
Mm.
So they're already working along those lines and heading in that direction. It's just we have this veneer on the surface of the propaganda of gravity that, because it's convenient for whatever reason and suits whoever is generating this propaganda, then we're stuck with it.
How do you think that would, if we recognized consciousness as a force in the universe or solar system and the entire world as we know it, then is this a dangerous idea that is prevented from being known at this point, do you think?
Yes, because if we became aware of who and what we are, and we reintegrated the soul back into the body, the whole of the soul back into the body, the higher self back in, then we would not be able to be controlled. And that's what seems to be the primary driving force within the world at the moment, is to control the population by certain people who consider themselves to be elite. And the driving force behind the elite seems to be the Velon. There is an agenda at work here, which seems to filter down from the Velon, and their intentions, as far as would appear to be as far as the Earth is concerned, and they are controlling the so-called people at the top, and that's filtering down through into the things we are taught in school and what we are told through the media, and how we end up thinking about ourselves.
Why is it, do you think, that they want to control us and dominate the planet at this stage? What is their agenda?
Well, let's look at it from a human level to start with. I see from your website that you picked up on the EU's press release on using Agenda 21 as a basis for working with the New World Order, basically.
Sure.
Agenda 21 is a document that was actually part of the UNCED agreement in the climate conference in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. So it's been around for 20 years. And what's contained within Agenda 21 is the removal of people from the countryside. They're either forcibly evicted or forced into moving back into cities for economic reasons. Because they, on the face of it, they say it's an environmental reason. We want to return 50% of the country, the countryside, back to wilderness so that it supports all the animals and plants that are becoming extinct. But also written within Agenda 21 is, it says they want to reduce the global population to 500 million by the year 2100. This is why it's called Agenda 21. So the official figures at the moment are there are 7 billion people on the planet. That means that 6.5 billion people must die before 2100. And anybody who is born, then the death rate and the birth rate must balance itself to maintain this 500 million figure that you have in mind.
And they're certainly working at it right now as we speak.
Oh, yes. In all sorts of different ways.
But, yep.
You know, yes, this is what they're trying to do, and this is the agenda they have. And all of this comes from what people know as, the organization called itself the Illuminati. Now, the Bavarian Illuminati were formed in 1776 by Ansel Rothschild, who found somebody to head the organization, and it set an agenda. And it's things like all ownership of housing, belongs to the state. People cannot have private ownership. The state must run all sorts of things and take over people's lives. So when you look at the economic agendas that have been going on recently, like the 2007 bank crash. I mean, if that wasn't designed to take housing out of private ownership and put it into state ownership, I don't know what did. So their agenda is continuing. It's working on. I've got a whole list for it, but I haven't got it immediately to hand, so I can't tell you what all the points are.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, they've been following that agenda since 1776. I mean, the first thing they did was to bring about the French Revolution, to create a socialist state within France.
Yeah,
people rejected that. And they basically, the vast majority of the Illuminati fled to America, where they've more or less been ever since. But the Russian Revolution, creating again a socialist state, was brought about by the Illuminati using American and British banks to fund it.
Yeah.
So it was an engineered situation. And, that has collapsed and failed, I'm glad to say. But what we still have instead is this so-called capitalist society. And if you try accumulating capital, what happens? They're going to take it from you, as is happening in Cyprus at the moment with the problems there with the banks.
Yeah.
And I heard on the news today that Canada is in the middle of passing a law that will allow them to remove money from people's bank accounts if they get into economic difficulty.
Isn't that amazing?
And
the people just... get angry at when I'm seeing this as well is, why are people then having their money in these banks still? You know, get them out, move out of there, set up your own thing, or have it in cash, go back to something else, you know? But many people are just kind of following into it, I think, unfortunately. I mean, a few are taking measures, of course, and trying to get out of the system, but ultimately I think it's evidence of the collapse of also the thinking that has produced this kind of system, Chris, and we're seeing this crumbling before our eyes. And I think ultimately that it's a good sign now it's actually opportunity for people to see how it functions, what the reasons are, and actually disconnect themselves from it, get out of it.
Yes, I would share that view. I see what's going on as a good sign. I know in the short term it's going to create a great deal of hardship and problems and difficulties
sure.
for people.
Yeah, yeah.
If for example, we'd gone through this consciousness reintegration at the end of 2012, we could have avoided all of this. Very seriously, we really could have avoided all of this. But because we didn't, then what we have to do is start stripping down all the structures that caused the problems in the first place.
Yeah.
That prevented us from achieving what we set out to achieve 7,000 years ago. And so... Yes, we have to dismantle the old before we can build the new.
So is there a bigger purpose behind these different various power structures and such? I mean, I've heard other people argue that some of these people have basically they've taken on a role, if you will, to act this out, to be able to nudge humanity forward. I guess what I'm saying is that if there wasn't any seeming threat out there or something that was threatening to control all of our lives, basically dominate in the way they're trying to do it right now, then people wouldn't get motivated, have the incentive to get off their ass, if you know what I mean, Chris. So it actually serves a purpose at the end, right?
Yes. And again, I'd agree with a lot of that. This is the problem with humans. They need a very hard kick up the bottom before they actually move.
Yeah, seems like it.
And so this is what we're going through. And what's occurring now, the collapse of the banking system has been working its way through for some years now, well before 2007. It's just totally unsustainable. I mean, America has been bankrupt for God knows how many years. It's only because oil is still traded in dollars that's actually keeping America afloat.
Yeah.
You know, if China reneged on all the amount of money that it owes America, America would collapse overnight. And so we have some very strange financial policies going on at the moment, which is reflected in the way in which the banks are collapsing.
Let me also just tie this in here, that with the destruction or dismantling of the banking system as it exists, there is a window of opportunity that kind of goes both ways, because if the economic structure as we see it is going to collapse, then they might want to bring in a completely controlled and dominated system, just what you're alluding to, what they're doing in Cyprus and try to do in other countries as well with all the bailouts and everything. Basically, they just take people's money. They take the assets that they have to pay for themselves. And so with the destruction of a system like this, which is the problem, they're going to offer the solution, which basically is a completely controlled and regulated system where people might not even have any of their money anymore. It's like just be some kind of credit pot, and you basically have to apply to get anything anymore. In other words, we'll be completely dependent on a kind of a welfare state, if you will, a socialist system, ultimately.
Yes, well, that's what seems to be they're looking to set up. I mean, they've already began doing this with all this rubbish about global warming and carbon usage and all the rest of it. There is a proposal to introduce a new financial system based on your personal carbon usage. So you're given If you have a very low carbon use, then you are given a large amount of credit. If you as you use carbon, then your credit diminishes.
Wow.
So that's already proposed. And the introduction of smart meters worldwide, smart electricity meters worldwide, is a part of that, is the beginning of that process of introducing this form of exchange.
Yeah, remotely measure everyone's usage, etc., and then, basically, control people's lives accordingly. It does tie in with Agenda 21 and also getting people, as you said, out of the rural areas into big cities where they're more easily controlled, pretty much. Do you think that there will be a natural kind of revolt against this? I think we've seen it in the last few years, people moving out to the countryside more. They're trying to get out and get away from it, basically.
Yes, in energy terms, cities are basically becoming black holes. They're really very, very low frequency energy. Whereas in the countryside, you have a much higher frequency. So if you're somebody who is looking towards this process of solar integration, then you're going to be very, very uncomfortable living in a city and you need to get out. And what that has produced is, in Britain certainly, to buy a house in the country now costs an average of 20% more than a comparable property in the city, which is totally unprecedented. It's the exact opposite of how it's always been.
That's right.
So, yes, people are moving in that way. And in the same way as, let's say, planets and the galaxy work together in the universe, they have an energetic compatibility on a soul level. And this is what people are finding, is that they are attracted to others who have a similar hope of being able to go through this process of reintegration, and those who don't want to take a part of it are the ones who are moving into the cities.
Yeah. So is there a splitting off? Is there two different strands here? Is this a fork in the road, if you will?
Very much so. But again, it's to do with freedom of choice. So everybody on a higher level, on a soul level, made a decision as to whether they were going to go through this reintegration process or not. And some people said yes, they were very much so, and others said no, they're not interested for whatever reason. I mean, there's no judgment here other than each individual has judged themselves and made a choice accordingly. So yes, there is a division, has been a division within people, really since about 1996, because there was a lot of energy changes took place in 1996 that fueled up a lot of things that have been happening since. And so in that sort of sense, then, yes, people are divided. There are those who want to stay on Earth and get on with all the things that they want to do, and there are those who have decided not to continue with whatever it is they're doing on Earth. So, you know, the population figures, again, are a sham. I mean, they're again, a piece of propaganda. They're trying to say to people, resources are running out, and so we're going to charge you more, and we need to put these smart meters in and all this sort of stuff. Whereas the population peaked in 1996. According to the Akashics, the global population at that time was 7.6 billion people. The current population level, according to the Akashic, is between 3.7 and 3.8 billion. So we've literally halved the population of the planet within that 20-year period. And these are people exercising their choices. Now you say maybe some people are using it to highlight the kind of problems that are going on the planet so that others will take notice of it. And that is very true. So a lot of those deaths are from people, they've died of the medical treatment to show how poor medical treatment is, or how damaging pharmaceutical drugs are, or how damaging GM crops are. So they've used their deaths to try and highlight those problems. But of course the media don't report these things.
No.
Because the media is controlled by the elite, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them. So we never get to hear them. So in many respects, unfortunately, a lot of those deaths have been wasted because they haven't had the impact that it was hoped that they would have. So, as you said earlier, you know, this sort of collapse that's going on at the moment through all political systems, the banking system, the medical systems, through science and all the rest of it, all of these collapses are coming about because they need to happen. We need to strip these lies and propaganda away from our understanding in life so that we can understand who we are and what we need to do.
Yeah, and I think they're pushing as well. They're using these various methods to, as you say, to help to depopulate the planet. I think that this ongoing eugenics program, pretty much of culling the herd, is very much a soft kill. I don't think that they're going to show up with you know, machine guns at everyone's door and try to imprison them or kill them on the spot. This is by voluntary choice, pretty much. Well, not really, but indirectly, it is still a choice because many people are choosing to go to the same doctor, to eat the food that is not GMO labeled, etc. They're taking the chemical route, if you will, instead of trying to, you know, clean up and go a natural, organic way. So we are partially responsible, but at the same time, then they're using people because they are gullible and believe that, you know, they have our best interest at heart and that we will be taken care of. So we're being fooled into this, and at the same time, then they're kind of achieving their agenda of depopulation. I mean, there's so many people that are sick around the planet and getting sicker, and there's tremendous amounts of people just constantly on, you know, pills, SSRIs, and everything else, which is slowly just kind of numbing them off and shutting down their system, you know?
Yeah, one of the worst ones is Wi-Fi.
Sure.
There haven't really been many studies carried out yet into Wi-Fi and the effects of Wi-Fi on the body, but I came across one fairly recently. So it's 4 years of research of the effect of Wi-Fi on the body. And what the doctor who carried out this research found was that the cell structures start to break down. So if you're subjected to Wi-Fi for a period of 2 to 3 years, then your body cells start to disintegrate and crumble, so you literally fall apart from the inside out.
Yeah.
And where it starts is in the brain, because the nerve tissue is in the brain. There are cells there called glial cells, and they're the first ones to break down and become cancerous. If you use mobile phones a lot, for example, then the energy patterns, the microwave patterns from the phone actually creates cancer of the glial cells between the ear and the brain. And you have all of that going on, and at the same time, we have a reduction in cholesterol. So everybody is being told you must reduce your cholesterol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas cholesterol is basically food for the cells. So if you're subjected to Wi-Fi and your cholesterol levels are at their normal level as produced by the body, because the body produces cholesterol, you don't get it from your foods, the body produces it itself, because it's cholesterol primarily builds new cells and maintains the structural integrity of the cell structures of the cells within the body. So if most of the people on the planet taking statins, reducing their cholesterol levels, subjected to Wi-Fi, they're going to end up with full-body cancer within 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's the damage done to the brain patterns, energy patterns from the brain waves, by Wi-Fi is extreme.
Yeah, exactly. It seems a lot of this is targeted towards basically just kind of numbing people off, shutting off those capabilities of making, you know, people choose a better option, a higher option. It's like they're, well, we know about the dumbing down that's going on, but it's very much literal in the sense what methods they've chosen, and with the technologies and with the food as well, to really target people's from being able to rationally being able to think and make critical choices, you know?
Exactly. No, it's a very coherent, targeted attack on people and how we function.
So how do you think, you know, in the last few minutes here, for this time, Chris, that we can topple the power structure and the propaganda? Is it tied to a raising, as you've talked about before, of the frequency and us moving into a higher level? And if so, how can we do that at the time, at this stage, when, you know, as we've been detailing here, we have so many attacks from so many different angles, if you will?
Well, disable your Wi-Fi to start with. That's always a good point to start. And really, it's start to look at things in a different way. So again, that Einstein quote, you know, you can't solve the problems that you with the same level of thinking that you created them. And so we need to shift the way in which we think about ourselves and the world and the universe as a large. So instead of accepting the propaganda as it comes in, is really, I suppose, stop reading newspapers, stop watching TV, and stop looking at the internet. Because that's the main tools that are used to propagandize us. So if you get off that and start looking at looking to people who think in different ways, who think in ways that can start to break these patterns. But really, so much of that comes from within, and there are meditations that people can do, for example, where they can work within the Akashic, they can heal themselves, they can work with all sorts of energies to try and break these patterns and to bring about the situation where we can join the people in the non-Western worlds and be ready to undergo this shift in consciousness. That's the primary key to it. If we can break these patterns and undergo consciousness change, then nobody can hold us. We will be able to see everything for the lie that it is, and the whole structure will break down totally. But unfortunately, I think that to a certain extent, it's gone a little too far. People have been so brainwashed into believing certain things and thinking in certain ways. That what we're now faced with is a complete breakdown of all the structures, like the politicals, the banks, and all the rest of it, before people actually start to wake up to realize there is an alternative to it.
Yeah, seems to be the case. Well, this has been very interesting. We appreciate you sharing your perspective with us, Chris. I hope we can do it again at some point. It's always interesting. There, of course, more to talk about, and you have much more material available in many of your books and stuff like that as well. So why don't we end again the segment giving out the details of what people can read more about your material. And do you have any plans of setting up any personal website again, or if and when you write and stuff like that, where can people find your writing?
Yeah, that's a slightly unfortunate situation. What I've written about, about a dozen essays, I think, which I've put out on the internet. I've sent to people who I know network. So those people network and they send those out on my behalf. So they are out there somewhere. I'm afraid I couldn't really tell you where to find them. As websites. As far as getting hold of my books are concerned, then that's Cygnus Books, which is cygnus.books.co.uk. They stock all of my books. There's also I've got a 2-hour interview on YouTube. Just put my name in and it comes up. Ignore the rapper that's also called Chris Thomas. there are some websites that do have my essays on. Internet radio interview hosts that I've had an interview with, they've tended to post the essays that I've sent them as well. So they are around. But at the moment, I don't have Wi-Fi. I don't have broadband. I refuse to have broadband because of all the Wi-Fi connections that go with it. And so I'm really unable to set up another website to put all of these things on, unfortunately.
Ah, I see. Well, I know of a few places where we've searched to find some of your material, and I'll add a couple of links to those so people can begin there if they want to read more.
Yeah, and thank you for that.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris. Really appreciate it. It was interesting having you with us, so thank you for your time today.
My pleasure.
And stay tuned to Red Ice Radio for more research, information, perspectives, and intriguing ideas. A big thanks to all our members. As usual, we'll be back with more shortly. In the meantime, please take good care of yourself and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.